It's time for Fitter Happier. That is not the thing that I want to play. So we're going to fix that and we're going to play this.
Fitter Happier. A program about your health for your health.
That's a bit better. It is time for Fitter Happier. It's a very good morning here at RTR. And a little note before we begin, we will be discussing family and domestic violence during the next 10 minutes. So if that's something that's not going to be all right for you, just tune out for 10 to 15 minutes and come back a little later. Yesterday, we celebrated the achievements of women for International Women's Day, but it's important to remember that work towards gender parity is far from over. Women in Australia are more likely to suffer from family and domestic violence, and yet 2 in 5 wouldn't know where to go for help if it happened to them. Today, we have Joanne Costopoulos from the Women and Newborn Health Service here to talk about some of the less obvious ways that domestic violence can appear. Welcome, Joanne. Thanks for joining us on the record this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. What brought you into work in women's health?
It's been a roundabout experience, really. I started as a postgrad working out at Bandyup Women's Prison, where I gained a lot of experience with FDV, as you can imagine, in that population. FDV is extremely common. I was a community corrections officer for a few years. I'm not too sure if anyone knows what that is, probably not. But essentially, we manage court orders and parole orders and offenders generally in the community. Again, family and domestic violence is huge in this population and probably the bulk of some of the orders that we would supervise. So a lot of experience there working with victims, survivors, those experiencing violence, but also perpetrators of violence. So I did a period of time with Mental Health Commission, and that's kind of led me to Women Newborn Health Service. I was actually a women's studies major, so this is kind of my jam.
We're talking about care and we're talking about looking after these fantastic people. Women are some of the best people on the planet. They're half of the planet. And it's important to think about their care and think about the ways that we understand and work with them. So many people think domestic violence is always physical, right? But what else can it look like?
Yes, that is still a common misconception, unfortunately, that someone will identify abuse only as if there is physical abuse involved. But definitely we know that there's financial economic abuse, there's technology abuse, which is actually a growing area of concern and certainly a growing area of research. And there are great places that you can go to for more information about technology abuse. eSafety Commission, call out to them. There is, of course, intimate partner sexual violence that occurs within relationships and is a form of abuse. And there's also the psychological emotional abuse, which we've commonly referred to it as that, but perhaps could be more, I guess, when we're talking about coercive control, it's more that type of abuse.
Now, coercive control, you've just mentioned that. That's something that I've heard thrown around in the last few years, but I actually don't know what the definition of it is. Could you tell us what coercive control means?
Okay, yes. Probably the best way to do that, and I'm going to give you a quote. There's a very prominent person in this area called Evan Stark, for those of you who know who that is. I'll give you a quote from him. So it is a strategic course of oppressive conduct typically characterised by frequent but low-level physical abuse, sexual coercion in combination with tactics to intimidate, degrade, isolate and control victims. It is a nuanced attack on a person's sense of self and their perception of reality, with the overall intention is to grant the perpetrator omnipotent power and control. So the key words really here, I guess, to take away when you're thinking about coercive control is intimidate, humiliate, degrade, isolate and control.
It's really interesting to hear about it framed in that way, because I think we would hear about this kind of abuse or this kind of control going on in relationships, but I've never understood it to have a label like this. So this is obviously really helpful when we're talking about family and domestic violence and these kind of things happening throughout this.
Yeah, and very importantly, an important part of coercive control is it's very time sensitive. It's quite cumulative. So it can start out with small ways in which that person will try and gain control. And with the, you know, eventually weeks, months, years later, they have complete control. So it's, I think someone, and I quite like this analogy of the frog in the boiling water.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and
the
it's
one?
Too hot before they realise they can get out.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, that's a really good analogy here, is it's that slow control. Yeah.
So for anyone at home who doesn't know that analogy, essentially what it is putting a frog into cold water and they're just in there and it's fine, but the water will slowly heat up. But by the time they realise that it's hot and they need to get out, it's too hard to get out. And I think that is a great analogy to apply to this, because that is something that you wouldn't realise was happening to you, or maybe you aren't aware, and by the time it's very hot in there and the water is hot for you, it becomes harder to get out and harder to find help. Now, there are particular groups that are at risk here, right? What are those? Who are the people that we're looking out for?
Okay, definitely more people at risk here. So called women, so culturally and linguistically diverse women, there are numerous barriers here. We don't even really have a good stat on this population because of these barriers and poor data. But that's a whole nother discussion. LGBTIQ plus community, we do know that coercive control, psychological, emotional abuse features quite heavily, and also combined with the fact that it's not as well recognised that is what's going on is abuse in this community, which is actually really good opportunity for education. And 100% Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women are so significantly and overwhelmingly more affected here, twice as likely to die from homicide related to FDV, 32 times more likely to be hospitalised as a result of FDV. So much so that this particular, I'm very happy to say, that there is a First Nations national plan to eliminate violence against women and children, specifically set for this purpose, is to address this ongoing issue. Their voices have not been heard for a very long time. Pregnant women are more at risk, we know that. Women in regional remote locations, again, if you think about isolation, that makes it a lot easier to isolate someone. Less services, perhaps less people, support people. Women with disability, older women, elder abuse, again, another growing area of concern and a growing area of research. Women with mental illness as well, and that poses a whole nother issue as well, and a whole conversation unto itself. Any women who are socially, economically disadvantaged, basically.
Yeah. So it's affecting a lot of women out there and a lot of different kinds of women. Yeah. And that's going to mean it's going to manifest in lots of different ways. Now, you did mention that fantastic plan that is great to hear that there's a plan in place to provide some sort of structure for addressing domestic violence and family violence against Indigenous women. But what help is out there that's practical? What kind of things are we, you know, able to direct people towards or help people with?
Yeah, there's actually quite a lot of help. I just want to clarify that is the First Nations national plan is in draft currently.
It's in
draft. It's not been finalised yet, so just to clarify that.
Great, that's okay. Great to hear that there's something happening.
There's something, and that's really a step forward.
And it is.
Okay, so in terms of, I guess, first point of contact, 1-800-RESPECT is a really good place, and you'll get a lot of direction for further services, very specific to your needs. There's the long-standing Women's Health and Family Services DVAS program, which has been around for decades and sort of came about from second wave feminism and the women's centres in the 70s. Really great spot for you. Women's Legal Service, there's also Legal Aid, there's a domestic violence legal unit specifically. So if you're talking about, you know, getting family violence restraining orders, etc. Men's Line. And don't forget SARC, of course, if there's sexual violence going on, please, which is the Sexual Assault Resource Centre. And Uniting WA's Escaping Violence payment that no one seems to really know about.
Tell us about
concerning.
It. Tell us about it.
Women actually, there is a criteria, but you can apply and services can apply on behalf of their clients. Mm-hmm. And you can get up to $5,000. This is a national pilot program, and let's use it as much as we can. Otherwise, you know, these sorts of things can just get get pushed aside. I know there's a high need for it. So please, Uniting WA Escaping Violence Payment, have a look at the criteria or have an organisation apply on your behalf.
Absolutely. Now, it's important that the ways to help people are things that we know about. If you're not affected by this kind of thing, it's important that you know about it so that you can inform those around you. But it's important that if you are affected by it, you also know about these things too. That's why it's important that we talk about it, especially around times of the year where we're focused on women. And yeah, we do celebrate them, but it's also important that we address their needs and issues. Now, the theme of International Women's Day this year was Embrace Equity. What does that mean to you, somebody who works in women's health?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because you can't stop me talking about this. So I guess to highlight my take on this, the embracing equity, and I'm going to take a quote here from the women's, the National Plan to End Violence Against Women and Children. So if we are to end violence against women, we must reshape the social, political and economic aspects of our society that allow gender inequality and discrimination to continue. So the focus on equity is really about restructuring systems that perpetuate and support this type of abuse, which has really historically meant that no significant change has occurred over quite a few decades. I feel like we're definitely having the same conversations quite repeatedly. And these systems, you know, that include the justice system, child protection, education and so on, are all areas where women get blocked in terms of, you know, their own freedom and safety. So change needs to happen at these foundational institutions. And so otherwise we'll just continue to struggle for freedom and our right to be safe.
Absolutely. Now, it's important that we do consider the ways that we can help and where people can find out more information, and we'll get to that in a moment. But if you do have somebody in your life that you think may be suffering from something, some form of domestic violence or family violence, how is it best to engage with helping them?
If your family, sorry, was that family and friends?
Yeah, family and friends. If you're not the person.
Yeah. So at first, I think it's a discussion. In a lot of ways, especially if you're talking about coercive control, we don't have coercive control laws specifically. But probably your best thing to do is to keep the conversation open. What you don't want is to ask, you know, push for someone to leave the relationship, which can lead to that person isolating even further. And I guess, you know, you need to keep in mind, you need to play that long game, right? We don't want them to become more isolated. So please, you know, don't push that expectation that you're just going to leave that relationship, because it can be very unrealistic, unsafe, and it might not be what that person wants. So we also need to be quite, client focused here, or person focused, but also trauma informed. So, forcing someone to do something can actually be quite re-traumatizing and mimic that relationship. So it's important that they're given some autonomy in that decision.
Absolutely. So really what you're there for is a support. You're there to be open, you're there to be spoken to, and you're there to support them in the ways that they ask and need to be.
Definitely.
But on their terms.
Yes.
Not on yours.
Yes.
Now, thank you, Joanne, for joining us today. And I would like to know where people can find out a little more info about this.
So much information. Right. So you can go to things like Our Watch. Are really great. Lots of videos, snippets of information, big ones. I'd say Cyber Safety Commission. Love Cyber Safety Commission. You get a lot of resources there. Stopping Family Violence. ANROWS, which is the Australia's National Research Organisation for Women's Safety. Department of Communities have quite a lot of information. If you want to know more about perpetrators and how to work with perpetrators as well, which is the growing demand on a lot of people working in this sector, Dave Mandel Safe and Together Institute is really amazing. And if you want some light viewing, and I'm not really light viewing at all, go and check out Jess Hill's See What You Made Me Do, which is still currently on SBS On Demand. It's a three-part series. And Jess Hill also has a book. This will really give you a good overview and understanding. It's very eye-opening for a lot of people on coercive control.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on RTR FM today, Joanne.
Thank you so much.
That was Joanne Christopoulos from the Women and Newborn Health Service. She joined us for Fitter Happier today. Now, if you want to find out any more, you can head to those places that she just mentioned. go to healthywa.gov.au or head to the Women's Health Unit at King Edward Memorial Hospital website. You'll find out a little bit more information there. If you want to find out more about the chat that we just had, jump on those places or jump on rtrfm.com.au and you can restream that one for a little bit more information if you missed something or came in through the middle there.